hungry mouth on the welfare. Changes. Tupac Shakur. And we're playing a great deal of Tupac today, and Fela Kuti as well. It's his birthday as well. But right now, it's not her birthday, but she is running hard to keep her seat in the state Senate. We're visited by State Senator Joan Carter Conway, who represents the 43rd Legislative District in Baltimore City. She's chair of the Education, Health, and Environment Affairs Committee in the state Senate and is running in this primary that is on June the 24th. And welcome, Senator. Good to see you.
Thank you, Mark. It's always good to be at WEAA.
410-319-8888 is the number here. You can write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook pages. You can just tweet us at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. Your questions and thoughts for State Senator Joan Carter Conway, who joins us in studio, 410-319-8888. So this is an unexpected, in some ways, race that no one would expect to be. This few people feel it being very tight. So talk a bit about what you're saying to the people about why you should stay in office and what you're saying to the people.
Well, I mean, you say what reality is. Reality is the fact that the numbers in Baltimore City in terms of representation is declining. And the only thing right now in terms of the resources and the revenue that Baltimore City is getting because we don't have the number of votes that we have had in the past is the leadership positions. And that's what's saving Baltimore City in terms of, for example, in 43rd District, there's no other district in the state that has two chairs. Chairman Maggie McIntosh chairs Environmental Affairs.
In the House.
In the House side. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, okay, and she's like the sister committee, and although we have purview over more subject matter on my side, we chair education, health, environment, we have procurement, we have lottery, we have Article 2B for the state, which is alcohol, and unfortunately, that's the most contentious thing in the legislature. Senator Blunt told me a long time ago that that is a very contentious, and I couldn't understand it, but now I definitely understand why. So it is the leadership positions that saves Baltimore City, and not just in the 43rd. Baltimore City is also fortunate in the 46th district to have Chairman Hammond, who chairs Health and Governmental Operations. So that leadership positions, we are there. We are in the back rooms. We know, you know, you oppose much of the legislation, but it's discussed before time. And the 43rd district overall works very hard. We are the leadership team, Delegate Maggie McIntosh, Murray Washington, and of course, Delegate Kurt Anderson, who is the delegation chair. But more so than that, it is the resources that the team brings back to our district, and more so than that, specifically to Baltimore City. You know, in terms of educational policy, we have actually upped the number of per pupil allotment, the $1.1 billion. You know, we advocated very hard for that. For 2 years, it did not pass. I spoke to the governor. I talked to President Miller. We talked to the Speaker of the House, Bush. So there were a lot of things, and I advocated very, very hard for that $1.1 billion. And we need it desperately. Baltimore City, you know, have some serious issues as it relates to education. We need better schools, better learning environments, and on and on and on. Then you have many more bills that impact the quality of life for Baltimore City residents. And most people don't really understand the state legislative process. When you go there, you have two primary functions. The first function is based on federal consent decree. The federal government said we must fund education. So more dollars come to the jurisdictions for education from the state by federal mandate. The only other thing that the legislators are elected to do is to pass the budget. We don't have to pass another bill. But it's always in my heart to advocate for those who don't have a voice. So many bills come through the legislature. And the bills that I focus and concentrate on most are the bills that help our constituencies. But you're not required to introduce a bill, pass a bill. We're required to fund education. And we are also required to pass the state budget.
So we're here with Senator Joan Carter Conway, seeking to retain her seat as state senator for the 43rd District here in Baltimore City. The number is 410-319-8888. Before I ask another question, let me go back to the phone. So I go back and forth at 410-319-8888.
Sure.
Kara in Waverly, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Kara. Welcome.
So last last legislative session, you let a bill die in committee called the Poultry Fair Share Act that would have made Purdue and other large poultry companies on the Eastern Shore take responsibility for more than 1 billion pounds of manure that they produce every year that ends up in runoff into the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you also recently went along with doubling the flesh tax on Maryland residents, and I was just wondering if you would call for a vote if this bill ends up in your committee again this year.
No, I didn't call for a vote the last time because the votes were not there. And I have a 92-plus environmental scorecard. So I have one of the highest scorecards as any legislature. But when the votes are not there, it is no need to bring a bill up for vote. The bill overall, in my opinion, is a good vote. I am definitely an environmentalist at heart. So a bill that has the potential of passing, you do not want the bill to have a history of dying in committee. That's why the bill was not voted.
Well, I mean, would it be some people just to, what Carol just raised? I remember we covered that a lot, a bunch of other environmental issues over the course of the last bunch of years.
Mm-hmm.
That particular act, I mean, some people would argue that if you let a bill come to vote, it comes to more public light, people become more aware of it, and that helps push a debate rather than kind of killing it, which doesn't push the debate at all.
Well, the debate was there. The bill had a hearing. So when the bill has a hearing and everybody comes and testifies, and rightfully so, that is the privilege. It's the purview of the chair to determine whether or not you ever schedule a bill for a hearing. We schedule the bills for hearings. Every bill that comes to my committee, we have more bills in my committee. We always, because I feel that I have an obligation to the constituents of Maryland and to the constituents of my district, the bill had a hearing. The bill just did not pass because the bill did not have, and we did not bring it up for a vote. You count your votes in committee.
But that's what I'm saying. If a vote comes up, at least you can see where people stand, and the voters can see where they're
standing. The environmentalists knew exactly where individuals stood. I spoke
with
them.
I'm talking about the people of Maryland, not just environmentalists.
Oh, okay. No, I'm saying the people, the individuals that were actually advocating for the bill, they knew where the bill stood. They knew that the bill
they
would,
did. I'm just talking about the larger public knowing.
Yes. Well, I can't really address the larger public. It was my decision not to kill the bill. If I brought it up for a vote, the bill dies. And the environmentalists, the lobbyists, everybody that lobbies for the bill, they know when they lobby that committee where the votes are.
One of the contentious issues I've heard from people in the 43rd district, which for a long time was my home district, has been that around the vote in the House that killed this bill. Let me see if I get the name of the bill right. This is the bill that made it illegal to happen in Maryland what happened in Richmond, California, where the program that Target Mortgages sold as private. Private investments that they would force banks to sell at the mortgage rate at that moment and then resell it for the people so they would not be forced out of their homes. But you and the committee opposed that bill.
No, I didn't oppose the bill. I didn't oppose the bill. Which committee are you referring to? That bill was not in my committee. That bill was in another committee. And let me just tell
it says here, I mean, I'm just reading the articles right now, I mean, that it said... The move, sponsored by State Senator Joan Carter Conway, preemptively blocked municipalities from enacting a program pioneered in Richmond, California.
Yes, and that absolutely. But you don't have all the information, Mr. Steiner.
Okay.
The bill was not necessarily blocked. It was my understanding that particular resolution was sent to the legislature. There was opposition from the initial introduction of the bill in the city council, but that's not exactly what happened. You know, politically, it appears that when you disseminate misinformation, now, it is in my heart, it is in everybody's heart, in terms of all the foreclosures, all the modifications, to help anybody that we can help. The issue with that particular bill, nobody wanted that version of the bill.
Who's nobody?
Nobody is the legislature. The state NAACP opposed the bill because there was some misinformation disseminated.
But the city supported it, NAACP. No, they did not.
And that's the problem. Because the information disseminated was that Senator Conway put in a bill that she is a proponent and supports eminent domain. So the information was they were misinformed. They thought I was a proponent of eminent domain. Everybody in Prince George's County did not want the bill. because they have the highest foreclosure rate. The state NAACP, because I called and I said, what is going on? Why are you opposing my bill? They said, Sir Conway, we don't want eminent domain. We do not want eminent domain. So the bill passed. They realized that I was not a proponent. The bill passed because the bill doesn't prohibit anything. What it does is it says that for 2 years, you cannot do anything because housing is going to study it. Anything that we can do to help people in foreclosure, I am willing to do. We are not certain that it actually helps individual in foreclosure. And it does not help anybody else if you don't have the money once you take those properties by eminent domain. If you don't, if the entity who took the properties don't have the money, they still in the same position. So that is not what the bill does. So there has definitely been some information out there that has been misrepresented. So when you read the article,
Senator, wait a minute. I think that that's not. I mean, what I understand this is about eminent domain that allows municipalities to force banks to sell things at
correct.
And so that people do not lose their homes or not moved out of their homes, but the banking industry opposed that bill and they got their way.
I didn't ever talk to the banking industry, and I got an apology from my opponent. It isn't really not about the banking industry. It is about the fact that people absolutely oppose eminent domain. And I told them, I am not a proponent of eminent domain. But if it helped those individuals in foreclosures, I am willing to support it. We don't know that it helps them. It was done in Richmond, California. And the committee that the bill was in was JPR. And they're saying right now that it happened in Richmond, California. And I am very cognizant of that. And to date, they have not saved one house. They had to go to the municipality to sell the bond, and they have yet to sell a bond. So the objective is to help people. But you don't know that it helps people. It has only been done in Richmond, California, and they have not been able to implement it to help anyone. And all we're saying here is not that you can't do it. We want to study the feasibility and see if it actually works. So what my bill does, contrary to what everybody's saying it does, specifically my opponent who does not understand the state legislative process, what it does is says, since Richmond, California have not done anything with it, since they have not funded a house, they have not saved one foreclosed property because they cannot sell the bonds, we're saying study it, see if we can help those individuals who are in foreclosure and come up with the recommendations to do so to find out if it really works.
So I'll come back to that in a moment. We have too many people calling in. I want to dominate the conversation, but I have another question about that. 410-319-8888. And Eric in Northeast, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you very much, Mark.
Welcome.
Good morning, my Senator Joan Carter Conway.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
That's fine. Let me just say something regarding a constituent that lives in this senator's district. She is responsive. I call her at home. She responds, and we talk. I email her, and she is concerned about my issues and has responded to my issues. I completely support her reelection, and I would also like to say that all the delegates in my district also deserve the constituent support. And I appreciate Mark Steiner for having my senator on radio this morning, and like to say good morning to all of you and your audience, and goodbye.
Thank you so much. Good to hear from you. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Ray in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. Well, very well. Welcome, Ray.
Mark, unlike the last caller, I hear just the opposite. It is just terrifying to me that a politician running would be as contentious and defensive and dismissive to you and some of the callers. It's just frightening, and I think it's endemic in, you know, local politics, certainly beyond local, but endemic of Baltimore politics. I don't know if they just think because they're Democratic, they can talk to people anyway, they can be dismissive, but it's frightening to me. And I would not grant Ms. Conway a vote just on her tone alone. It is the antithesis of what a politician should be, my opinion. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Ray. 410-319-8888 as we talk with State Senator Joan Carter Conway, who is running to keep her seat as the state senator from the 43rd District. So internally in the district, what is this debate going over about? You said liquor was one of the biggest issues you had to face, right?
Yes.
So what is this debate over?
It's not one of the biggest issues. I mean, many people are concerned with it.
So the people, when I go back and forth around Belvedere Square, are one community. It's very confusing. One community I heard in a community meeting saying that they opposed more liquor licenses for Belvedere Square, but most communities around there saying we want it because we want to build Belvedere Square up. It's a place people to come to. But you oppose the idea of more liquor licenses for Belvedere Square. Is that true or not true?
Listen. It is very interesting that the Belvedere Square Improvement Association is the entity that sits directly at the square and the economic engine there. Nobody is opposed to, and unfortunately, what has been disseminated is the fact that it prohibits economic development. It does not. I have talked to the developer. I have spoken with the owner. There is no prohibition. You know, they can do economic development. The issue in reference to the licenses, they have the same amount of license that they currently have. It's just limited to those amount of license. Additionally, you know, they were disseminating information that, oh, I can't sell my business and have a license. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can sell your business because the total is 15 licenses. There are 15 licenses there. It does not damage anybody. It does not prohibit economic development. Another piece of information that was disseminated was that I had blocked the Senator Theater from getting their license. Absolutely untrue. The Senator Theater, unbeknownst to me, because I don't check to see who has license, the Senator Theater received their license July the 25th, 2013. So we're not prohibiting anybody. What it is the fact that those individuals that are there, when you have individuals with independent license and they will still remain in that borderline drawn out area, 15 license, they can continue to operate. You have more control over individuals when you have an arena license. So the proposal is to get an arena license so they can continue to develop, they can continue to stabilize. But yes, it was the Belvedere Improvement Association who has impacted negatively by the activity. And initially, it was my understanding, and I received a letter from them. It was not Joan Carter Conway who arbitrarily decided that this is what was going to happen. So we did absolutely get that letter from the community association who did not want many, many more proliferation of liquor license in that area without collaboration. And today, they are collaborating. The developers are collaborating. They are content with it. We're moving on. We're looking at the arena license. There will be development. There will be stabilization.
We have an email here from Butch, who wrote in that Senator Carter Conway told environmentalists to stay out of fracking this year. And when Senator Zirkin brought up the ban on fracking, Senator Conway pointed out to Senator Zirkin that, quote, not one person signed up to support his ban.
Exactly. Exactly. You can go and pull the file. Senator Zirkin put in a bill that required banning of any fracking in the state of Maryland. The governor currently has a blue ribbon commission that has been studying fracking for quite some time. Everybody came in he had about 20 individuals on that list, and there was not one individual that supported the ban on fracking. You had the governor's Blue Ribbon Commission members come and testify against it. It precludes the fact and it does not allow them to continue to study the issue. The additional fact is, and many people don't know, there were like 5 licenses in the state of Maryland. They have been here 5 to 7 years. No license has ever been approved. Currently,
what's your position on fracking?
My position on fracking is I'm not necessarily thinking that fracking is a good thing just based on what happened in Pennsylvania. The individuals from Pennsylvania, the EPA individuals, and I specifically asked them what happened in Pennsylvania. They said actually when they started the fracking process and procedure there, that many of the safeguards were not in place. They did not have those rigid guidelines, and it was absolutely, in my opinion, a catastrophe. It has not been any mishaps or any issues for a while. In Maryland, the commission is studying the water contamination, what they need to do. I asked them how did they abate the issues in Pennsylvania. They said they did not have enough linings in the wells that they were digging, and that's why the water was infiltrating into the water and many other things. So I am not sure. We're waiting for the clear-cut science. They have not had any incidents in Pennsylvania for a while. It appears to be going well. But does that mean that we will approve fracking? No, it does not. The other issue is not only did the Maryland Department of Environment not approve those permits. Currently, all those permits are withdrawn. They have withdrawn. There are two types of shale. I just knew that it was Marcellus shale. There's dry shale and wet shale. And actually, the industry have withdrawn those permits because it has taken so long. And Maryland is never going to approve a permit. But it's more economically feasible for them to do wet shale. So right now, the jury is still out. We are waiting for the recommendations for that committee. Several of those recommendations have actually come through our committee in terms of liabilities to property members and stuff. So we've increased the amount of the liability. It was limited to $50,000.
I want to thank you, State Senator Joan Carter Conway, 43rd District, for joining us today. And we'll see you down the campaign trail. And we'll find out what happens on the 24th of June.
We'll be good. I mean, 99% of the endorsements is for State Senator Joan Carter Conway. And this morning, the Sun paper decided that they were going to endorse me.
Congratulations. We'll take a very brief break. When we come back, we tackle Iraq. We're going to go out here with Tupac Shakur.
Follow me. Eat my flesh, flesh of my flesh. Come with me. Hail Mary. Run quick, see. What do we have here now? Wanna ride or die? La 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 la. I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Revenge is like the sweetest joy. That's the...
That's the OJs. Edward Leverett of the OJs was born on this day in 1942, and I misspoke before we went to break. State Senator Joan Carter Conway is going to stay with us another few minutes. 410-319-8888. Ask your senator any question you'd like. Even if not, she's not your senator, ask any question you'd like. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinarshow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook pages. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. Mark writes in at steinarshow@gmail.com. What I wonder, I'm sorry, my back's to you.
No,
the,
it's not.
The email's over here.
So. No, I need you to read the information.
What I wonder is why the senator was so ready to pull funding to University of Maryland schools over the academic boycott of Israel. Why was she so ready to punish the students and faculty of the University of Maryland schools over a free speech issue?
Oh, that's an interesting subject. Actually, Jewish Association came. They had their bill. It is really not a free speech issue. It has never been a free speech issue. And actually, the issue was resolved in the budget. And many people misunderstood the issue because the bill was dropped initially, and it appeared that way. It was never about stifling anybody's free speech. It was really more about the fact that you cannot use public funding. You can protest, you can ban, you can do anything that you want. All I'm saying is that the taxpayers does not necessarily have to support that issue. So the way that the bill was originally dropped and drafted by the individuals, the bill is consistently amended. and has been amended, and the issue was addressed in the budget.
Though a lot of people, including the Washington, D.C. Jewish Council, who represents Montgomery County and Prince George's County, and the ACLU, who do say it was a free speech issue because it would stymie professors and students to be able to say what they wanted to say, use funds to hold public meetings, which you're supposed to have a right to do in a university. Yes, it does. Yes,
I don't.
That is what it is. I mean,
No. I'm not saying that it isn't what it is, Mark. I'm saying that many people have a tendency to look at the bill the way it came in, mm-hmm. and you're absolutely correct. The Baltimore Jewish Council had a very different opinion than the Washington Jewish Council.
Right.
So the bill was amended. It was Baltimore Jewish Council that introduced the bill initially. We dropped the bill because of the timeline and when the bills need to be filed. Last year, they stepped up the timeline, so we dropped the bill. Every bill in the legislature is amended. The Washington, D.C. Council, all the stakeholders came in. We discussed the bill, testified on the bill, and the bill, as it was presented, is no longer in that particular form. The issue and the concern was over free speech, and it appeared that there was a clause in the bill that stopped free speech. We're not trying to do that. I disagreed with them, and I told them when we dropped the bill that their bill would be amended considerably. The issue remains that you can protest. You can ban. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. We're not infringing on anybody's amendment right to free speech. The issue then became that if I have a particular issue that I want to protest or ban, should the taxpayers pay for it? So the issue was addressed. So it was addressed. It was abated. You can ban. You can protest. You can do anything that you like. So, yes, the original form and drafting of the bill, there was some differences in the opinion of Baltimore Jewish Council and the Washington Jewish Council, and it was resolved.
Well, I mean, I know it went through the budget. It was kind of slid in through the budget, but
yes.
that things often happen at the end. They slide in the budget.
And it was all about whether or not taxpayers should be supporting an issue and using public funds to do it. You can do anything that you want. It does not prohibit that.
No, but public funds are always used in universities for debates over political issues, and they've always been there for students and faculty to use. This was saying that, no, we want to take that right away from faculties and students to be able to use public funds to hold meetings or anything else. And, I mean, that was the heart of the debate.
Yes, that was the heart of the debate. And obviously, there was some contention about the heart of the debate. And like I said,
where do you stand on this? What I'm trying to figure out.
Well, I'm saying this. If you don't necessarily support my independent issue and I want to ban, and I'm on this side of the issue, you're on the other side of the issue, they're taking your taxpayers' dollars to support my position. And that was really the issue.
Well, what's your I just don't understand what your position is.
My position is that we should not use public funds, and obviously that was the position of the legislature. Anybody that wants to ban protests, they have the opportunity to do that. We are not infringing on your right to free speech. But because some of the taxpayers might not be taking your position, Mark, and if you're not going to use those same taxpayer dollars to equitably fund both sides of the position, so the issue was resolved to say you can do whatever you want to do. You can use your funding. You just cannot use taxpayer public dollars.
Do you have a final thought for our listeners before we hit the campaign booth? Because early voting is over. That was done yesterday.
No, early voting is not
over. It continues. That's right.
It continues. No, please come and vote.
Come and vote
Cash
now.
Cast your vote. And the early voting is from June 12th to June 19th. It was just that Sunday was the first Sunday that we ever early voted.
Right.
And many people didn't realize that because they thought that they never voted on a Sunday before. And Sunday, many individuals thought that early voting was closed. So, no, early voting will continue until June 19th. And then, of course, on June 24th, that's the election day, and we asked all of our constituents to come out and cast the vote of your choice. Thank you for inviting me.
Good to have you here, always, at Morgan State University and WEA and the Mark Steiner Show. State Senator Joan Carter Conway is here with us. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we launch into a debate discussion on ISIS in Iraq. We're going to break with Express Yourself by NWA. MC Ren of NWA was born on this day in 1966. Stay with us.